Okay, 1 Corinthians, please. Now, indeed, the theme of the camp is, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. But as you read that scripture in 1 Corinthians, there's a lot before it that you know, that's related to that. That's lovely, isn't it? verse 10. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now, that's what makes our church so successful, for as a church is found on the Word of God and doing the Word of God. And we often hear, you know, here we are in the Perth Fellowship, and, you know, we're split, between Morley and Yangibup as well, but we don't have different doctrines. We don't have, you know, the doctrine of Pastor Tim or Pastor Simon and the doctrine of Pastor Kevin, Pastor Mike. It is the same doctrine. And in our house meetings, they're all the same doctrine. In down in Bunbury, it is the same doctrine. If you go to convention in Adelaide or where it may be, or Melbourne, or travel around Australia, and you go to a Revival Fellowship meeting, it is the same doctrine. It's founded the Word of God in all purity. And it's that many different religions out there, and people take different things astray. But we have this wonderful gift by the Holy Spirit that we know that the doctrine that we preach is not our own doctrine, but it's doctrine of God. And we follow the Word in its entirety. And it's just so blessed to be part of a church like this. And everybody said, it is. It's such a wonderful miracle. There's no confusion. Okay, it's a simple doctrine we go back to. You know, repent, be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for you shall speak in tongues. Hands up if you receive the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues. Right up there. And that's a wonderful miracle. Lord is proving his word. We don't train people to speak in tongues. We don't teach people to speak in tongues. It is a gift from God. And we tell people, you must, you know, baptize is by full immersion. So you go in water. Who got baptized in a tank? Hands up. Who got baptized in a river, perhaps? The ocean? Yep, we've got a few oceans. Yeah, I got done in a river, a very cold river. It was funny that when I remember getting baptized in this river, and it went down and said, "Now come out of the water saying hallelujah, and we'll expect you to speak in tongues." And it's like, you know, so I went down and it was in a public spot. I thought, "Oh, this is a bit weird." And down I went, I knew I had to get baptized. And down I went and I came out of the water, and it was in Victoria, and it must have been the middle of winter, and it was freezing cold. And I was about half the size of what I was now, a young 21-year-old boy, 22-year-old boy. And I came out of the water and shivering, I'm going, "Oh." And they thought, "He's speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord." I knew I hadn't received the Holy Spirit. I hadn't spoken tongues. I knew it was my own, you know, my own frozen moment in time. But yeah, but 2 weeks later, I was in my bedroom and I was just, you know, and I said, I asked the Lord simply, "Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit." And I just spoke out, and out of my mouth poured this wonderful language. And I knew I'd been filled with the Holy Spirit, not only by that speaking in tongues coming out as well, but that satisfying, like being poured within, you know, from head to toe. And suddenly you're a changed person. You know, God is real. Those, you know, the Old Testament, Adam and Eve, it's real. Isaiah, Moses, the Red Sea, it's real. It's not a story that you get told at school. It's, you know, Jewish fairy tales. It's all real. And it's something that doesn't leave you. And you're told, you know, about when you get, you know, you get witnessed by somebody that, "Oh, it's a great life." You go, "Oh, yeah, it sounds good." But it is a great life. From a young person through to, you know, young married to older married to later years, it's a wonderful gift the Lord has given us, and he's always there for us. I love the Word of God. For a book that is, you know, thousands of years old and 2,000 for the New Testament, that it's still relevant for today. We had little recipe books we follow when we were a kid. We used to talk about sticks of butter and ounce of milk and this and that. And Mum used to say, "Oh, you know, well, what's an ounce of butter, Mum? Oh, about that much," and throw it in. This day and age, it's all in metric and all that. But it, and so the, you know, the old recipe books are very hard to follow, and they're only like 20, 40, 50 years old. But for us, the Word of God, that we can follow something today in our advanced age with technology and the internet and everything like that, the Word of God is still relevant today, and we can put it in our life. That's a true miracle, isn't it? And the Word of God is so important to us. But just focusing on this one here is about our church and how important it is for us to remain in unity and have a great basis to bring people along to. And we are blessed that way. We have a wonderful fellowship. You know, this being camp, it's such a friendly place, camp. You know, people been waving all the time to me, like that. It's like, it's great. I love flies. They're fantastic. And you're like, hello. The chorus leaders have been doing a pretty lousy job in the morning. The drummers are really, you know, they're like that, and the drummers are trying to keep up with them, and they're just, Brett said, we don't follow the chorus leaders. They're not very good with their leading at the moment. And that's only flies. So there's no divisions amongst us. I know recently I was on the hunt for a few international people to get to meetings. Like, and I went out in my work, being a supervisor, I get to drive around a lot and go on the building sites, and I thought, I'm going to head for some Chinese guys. It would be really good to have some more Chinese people in the fellowship. So I went out to hunt, and people in the building industry, just get your idea, is that people, gyprockers, you know, people who do sheathing, they're generally Chinese. So I used to go, if I go to this house at this time, I'll find a Chinese person to speak to. So I rock up the site, and it's a Chinese, and your first one is, like, their English is not generally pretty good. You go, okay, who speaks English here? And generally, lately, it's like, they look at like, no idea. And so I start to communicate with these Chinese, and I'm talking to them, and they have no idea what I'm saying. I thought, I've got it all worked out. So I spoke really slow. And I'm like, come on, guys. You have to learn how to speak English. It's very important. How do you reckon that went? Nah, no idea. So I've gone away from the Chinese, and I thought, Korean. I'm going to hit the Korean. Now, in the building industry, Koreans are tilers. So I knew when to go to the site, and the tilers are pretty good to speak. They're very good at English. So I rocked up to the site one time, and one guy, I had to have a word with him first of all. I actually had to go crooked in because he sort of wasted our time by not finishing his tiling on time. So I've gone in there and sort of said, hey, mate, you need to tell us if you're running behind, blah, 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 and da, 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 and have a go at him. And thought, oh, hey, by the way, here's a pamphlet, and if here's a church you can go to, blah, 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 blah. And he took the pamphlet, and I left him. I thought, that probably didn't go too well. You're probably not going to come along this one there. So next time I thought, I'll go to another site. So I went to another site. I got a great job, haven't I? I get paid to go out to witness. I'm very careful by it. And I went to this guy, and I had a chat to this guy, and I said, oh, hello, how are you? And I said, are you a Christian? He goes, yeah, I'm Presbyterian. I said, oh, right, okay, no worries. I got a really good church for you. I thought, come along to our church, because Koreans, I really thought we get, you know, a lot of Koreans come to our church. Oh, how good that would be, because they're very religious. I think it's during the America, the Korean War. So I went to this guy, and I had a chat to him, and I said, here you go, mate. Here's a church you might like to come along to. And I go, where do you live? Maylands. And he goes, oh, yeah. And he looks at me and goes, oh, Morley, that's only 5 minutes away from me. I'm like, no, come down to Yanjibup, And he's like, oh, no, I only live 5 minutes away from Morley. I'm like, oh, hallelujah. I thought, but I know if you have a Korean guy turn up at Morley, he's going to get the same word that with whoever speaks to, and he'll get saved. It's a simple word, isn't it? Repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, so for us, you know, as we read on a bit here, it says, verse 11 says, for it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, and there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that everyone who saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, of Peter, an eye of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I have baptized in my own name. And I baptized unto the household of Stephanus, besides I know not whether I baptize any other. But for us, this was a Paul saying, we belong to one team, and that is Team Jesus. We're not Team Kevin or Team Simon. I hope not, but we aren't. We follow the Lord, and what it is. We're not, you know, Team Phil as well. Yeah, we follow the Lord and we follow Jesus Christ. And it's so important for us to do that. And there's different, you know, evangelical, you know, teachers out there. You see those guys, the American evangelists that are on TV, and they're out there and people follow them religiously. And they're rich people and they're out there for gain. And people seem to say, oh, I follow this guy, or I follow this, or I follow this church. You know, we're not... Revival Fellowship is just the name of our church, but we are the church of God. And it's so important to have this basis for growth. And that's why the Lord, who adds to the church? Is it me? Is it evangelist? Is it someone else in the church? The Lord adds to the church daily those that need to be saved. So it's so important for us to have a church, which we are, a church of love, a church of good doctrine, a church that our brothers and sisters will look after. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering in doctrine. We're told to preach the word and out there amongst the nations. But you know the other importance is as well? To preach the word to each other. Just like I'm doing now, you know, all of us, most of the, all here are saved, and you're getting enriched by the word. Preach the word to each other. Know the word. Encourage one another with promises. Testimonies are so important to, you know, you are the Lord. It talks about the Lord. You know, we are his workmanship. You know, you're something the Lord has made. Your testimony is the most strongest tool you've got. People watching you, people looking at you, and they know you are different. For you are holy, you know, you're changed, you don't swear, you don't drink, you're kind, the fruits of spirit in your life, you help one another, and people see that in you. What makes you different? And they'll see your light shining out tremendously. But it's so important for us to preach the word, encourage one another daily. It helps us one another. You know, we have our good times and the bad. You might be in a really good time in the Lord, just blessings, in a good spot. You know, you're overcoming your trials. We all go through trials and tribulation. But there's brothers and sisters who are doing it tough, and they need you to encourage through the word. So it's so important to know that word. So you mightn't be a person who can go out there and preach to everybody out there and door knock and you know, chat to everybody on the street, but you have that ability to keep people saved. My testimony, like, if you don't know it, I was like Chris, I suffered from mental illness. I thought I was a second coming of Christ, of all things, believe that. And I grew up that idea, and come to the age of 21, I really believed it, and I lived like that. I was in Victoria, up to see the Premier Victoria. I was someone special to see him. I did some weird and wonderful things. I shaved my legs all in stripes, like, you know, Collingwood socks, because I was special, and people had to see I was special. And I'd be riding around a train, and people looking at me, and they were laughing, and I'm thinking, yep, I'm special. I thought I was good. I was the second coming of Christ. Hey, yeah. And I believed, I really lived that way until Mum and Dad come down and got me and put me in a psychiatric facility, and I got medicated up. And then I realised I had suffered that. And, yeah, got a good old jab, drool hanging out the side of the lip, in a state of being like a zombie as well. And this was going to be my life, in and out of psychiatric facilities until... You know, I did get healed. But before that, you know, it was a walk. And I really wanted to follow the Lord. And I'd come out of the psychiatric facility and I was like, where do I go, Lord? How do I get to follow you? You know, and I was looking for a church. And every time I go to I remember there was like the Jehovah's Witness, I went to go to their church, it got cut off. And then one time something else went on, some meeting somewhere, I went to go and it sort of got cut off. You know, I didn't go to that meeting. And it used to get cut off. I tried this. I didn't know where to go whatsoever until one day I saw a meeting that was advertised in the paper. And what it said, it was like for Moss Murray, come and see Professor Moss Murray from, some university in Melbourne. And he talks about what the Bible says about the environment. And I looked at it, I thought, oh, I'll try this one, see if it doesn't get cut off. And, I travelled from my hometown of Camperdown, 65 kilometres down to a place called Warrnambool, sat in a hall, and my first instincts, I sat at the back with all the cool people, and the cool people were everywhere because they all had this wonderful glow about them, this purity that I've never experienced before. And they were happy, they were smiling, they were singing choruses, and I thought, wow, there's something there. And the Professor Moss Murray gave his presentation. I listened. And afterwards, just some random guys just grabbed me and just started telling me the word of God. You must be born again. You must be baptized by full immersion. You must receive the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. I was just taking it all in and thought, wow, this is sounding amazing. Is this real? And they grabbed it. Then they grabbed the Bible up and showed me, here, this is where it says it here. And they showed me. I thought, wow, this is exciting. Next week, baptized by full immersion. Week later, received the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues. Then about 1 week later, you know, I copped a lot of persecution. Not as bad as Dennis got. My wife said, man, you thought you copped it hard. Dennis really copped it hard. Mum was really nasty to me. Anyway, I was going to book myself back in the psychiatric facility because my brain was just overflowing with just, you know, thoughts and I wasn't well, I couldn't think. And it's like, oh, I just need to go to the psychiatric facility, get a jab, a bit of drool hanging down, do me 2 weeks stint, out I go again, I'll be all right. And this brother says that you can be healed by the power of prayer. And I was like, okay, whatever. I couldn't pray. And they prayed for me, laid hands, just a young brother and sister. Boldly just broke, you know, laid hands on me, just said some simple prayer, you know, in Jesus' name be healed. And my brain just went, and just went, and it calmed down. It's like, whoa, I've been healed. And I was healed there and then. And that's going back about 30 years ago. And just to be healed, and it's just the one, you never forget it. It's truly, no longer do I think I'm the second coming of Christ. My legs are looking pretty good. But yeah, but he heals. But what I'm saying to you is, to get me saved, what was involved with that? It involved somebody taking an ad out in the paper. It involved somebody hiring the hall out. It involved somebody doing a presentation. It involved a couple of people after the meeting talking to me. It involved younger people taking hold of a young person. And, you know, even though I was nutty's a fruitcake, they took me under their wing and they prayed for me and I was healed. And it's a little saying, I don't know how true it is, Ushi, it's like they say, it takes a village to raise a child. Is that good enough? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's an African saying, an old African saying. It takes a village to raise a child. So it might be mum and dad have a child, but it takes a whole village to raise this child. We are that village. And everybody who comes into our fellowship, you know, they need to be raised by that village. But all us here need to be raised. What are we called? The children of God. We all need to be looked after by one another. We have a wonderful Father and we have, you know, oversight. We all need one another. That's so important. So my, you know, message tonight is whatever you do, do it well. You know, wherever you are at the moment, with your young, enjoy being a young, but be the best young person you can be. You know, take a hold of people, you know, encourage them, love them, talk to people. And, you know, older people, you know, you look after one another, talk, wave, you know, say hello, forgive, you know, expand the word of God, take people around. You might be doing something, encourage one another, look out for the lonely people, talk to one another. And that's what keeps us saved and builds us up all the time. You know, we're so fortunate, you know, who knows what's around the corner. Look what happened, you know, hear what happened up in Perth recently with there's a lady COVID. She's in isolation and she decided, I don't want to be there. And she would come over from overseas and after 2 days, grabbed the bags, took off. And they didn't know where she was. And she, I don't think she's got it, but they found her again. She said, no, I don't want to be around. So she just left. She was going through some medical one there. But who knows what's around the corner. Don't you think Mark McGowan would shut us down pretty quickly and suddenly we were out to where we were, you know, 10 months ago, back in isolation again. But luckily, you know, the Lord's blessed us. He's given us like technology. We've got YouTube and the Zoom and all that. We can get through it again. But you never know what's going to happen. So it's so important to enjoy the fellowship. You never know what's around the corner. We don't know. You know, it talks about the world is going to change. You know, there's trials and tribulations going to come upon us. Enjoy this fellowship and just enjoy it and be the best you can. Amen. Everybody said. Okay.